And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides with me, Robert Norse, and a special guest, Bob Glass, the badass coffee man, and a citizen who attended the Downtown Commission meeting today. He also has in the studio his expert consultant, William, who may advise him on some matters. William is much younger, but he may have some interesting things to say, too. Who knows? Anyway, stay tuned. Bathrop Spears Broadsides coming up next on 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. Of course, was just kidding singing, "Why Don't We Sleep on the Mayor's Lawn?" Since it's illegal to sleep anywhere anyway, so why not sleep on the mayor's lawn and let her know what's going on? Well, this is Free Radio Santa Cruz, as mentioned before, and you can be a part of the show if you'd like. It's not hard to do. Just give us a call at your whim and wish, and it's 427-3772 is a phone number, 427-FRSC for Free Radio Santa Cruz. If you got something you want to pass on to the collective off-air, let's say perhaps you want some information, maybe you want your own show, maybe you want to criticize, but you're afraid of the incurring my wrath, beware my wrath. You can call off-air at 427-4523, which is the Free Radio message line. You may have a public service announcement you want to make. You may have a big donation you want to give. You may have a scathing denunciation you want to pass on, or a mild criticism. Again, 427-4523, voicemail. If you want to talk directly to me off-air, and I won't be able to pick it up now, but I will catch it later, and I'll get back to you. You can call the Huff line. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and it's 423-HUFF, 423-4833, 423-HUFF. If you want to get a hold of Bob at Badass Coffee, best thing to do is to wander into the store, probably, but I'm sure he has a number that's listed. You may want to talk to him after the show. Who knows? Let me introduce him and William, who's also here. Hi, Bob. Welcome to Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. Thanks for inviting me.
Sure, you're welcome, and welcome, William. He's
William. Say hi.
If you'd like. So now I know that William wasn't, but you were, Bob, at the Downtown Commission hearing today at 8:30 in the morning when we had about 30 to 40 people, and there was only one real subject at that Downtown Commission hearing, which was, of course, a proposed law, which you were the only merchant that I know of in the crowd, maybe you know of some others, who had some reservations about it and actually raised your hand as the lone hand against the law of those who hadn't spoken, as Chair Julie Shattuck reviewed the scene later to see if what the kind of the audience felt. Like, I think Joe Ferrara, one of the commission members in Atlantis Fantasy World owner, wanted to get a sense of how the community felt about the proposed ordinance. What we're talking about, and we're going to be talking about a number of things, because, Bob, you have a number of concerns. About,
I do, yes.
And I don't just want to talk about that, but maybe we should put that off. In fact, why don't we do that? For those who are interested in the Downtown Commission, not only am I going to be talking with Bob about it in about 10 or 15 minutes, who knows, maybe even sooner, but we're also going to be playing some endless tapes about it from the Downtown Commission itself. It's not their official tape because that hasn't yet made it into the studio, but I do have my own kind of raggedy tape, which I'm going to play, and I'll be talking about it. The bad news is, for all of you who don't know already, the Downtown Commission passed this trashy law 6-1, and it's going to go to the City Council, and I think it's a slam dunk, but I would love to be proved wrong. That would be great. Bob, it may not be bad to sort of introduce you as segue into this by talking about the fact that you were, you're not a big fan of this law, which, to those who don't know already, this proposed law would make it illegal for you or anyone in town, except for a parking employee, to walk into a parking lot, a public parking lot, unless you have a car or vehicle, or unless you're directly transiting the lot. In other words, you could no longer loiter or sit or play music in a parking lot unless you had a car or a bicycle, and even then you could only be there for 15 minutes. So don't try to hang around the car reading a book, because that's a public safety hazard, and also parking lots are made for parking, not anything else. That was the word from the Downtown Commission. Did you disagree with this assessment, Bob?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting as a business owner. I've lived in Santa Cruz 18 or almost 19 years now up in the county, and so I'm downtown a lot, but I've never been downtown as a business owner. And we opened Badass last November, so almost a year ago. And while I understand the city's concern about the high-rise parking lots, and in fact we've seen some incidents with my wife trying to get her car late at night and concerns for safety, what I am against is expanding rules when there's no need for them. I can tell you that the parking lot, and I'm not sure the number, I think it's 8, the one that's behind Pearl Alley, mm-hmm. Where we are located,
I don't know the number either, but yeah.
Doesn't have major problems. I don't see any reason why a new regulation needs to be put in place. We sit there, and our customers come in through the back door. That means they're coming through the parking lot into the store. We monitor. As much as I hate to say it, Badass Coffee has 11 video cameras. We monitor everything all the time, including what's going on outside the store in both directions. I hate the idea, but I have to do it. And I can tell you that I watch the parking lot, and I really don't see major problems. For a while early on, we saw some drug dealing. We confronted the people, pointed to the camera, said, "You really don't want to be here doing that. It's on camera." And pretty much that cleared up the problem. I also noted that at the meeting this morning that it's not illegal to sleep in your car. That's what I heard.
No,
but
it is illegal to sleep in your car after 11 o'clock at night.
Okay, because I thought that was the question, and they said no, you could. There was no specific ordinance.
It's not illegal to park your car in a parking lot at night, and it's not illegal to be in your car at a parking lot at night if you're not sleeping. But once this ordinance passes, it will be illegal to be in your car for more than 15 minutes at any time of the day or night.
Yeah.
And it's currently illegal at any time of the day or night after 11 o'clock, not at any time, to fall asleep in your car parked on public property or on any public property outside your car. Asleep after 11 o'clock at night.
I'm sure that'll come as news to a number of vehicle owners who sleep in their cars in the parking lot.
often unpleasant news, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, my feeling is if there's no activity going on that warrants a new law, why are we passing a new law? It's just plain and simple. I'm fed up with all the rules and regulations. I do think we have to have some rules. We do have to have a society of law and order. But we don't have to go over the line, and just because somebody doesn't like something, you pass a law to try to ban it. You know, to me, that's really wrong. So, from my point of view, I see no reason to pass this thing. I think that the statistics, as I was trying to say to somebody after the meeting, if What the police presented was a number of statistics of arrests that took place in the parking lots. Now, the problem that I have with that issue, and I have not examined the data myself, is that we have had a number of incidents over the past year in Badass Coffee where we've chased people out or they've run out the back door and they have been arrested in the parking lot. So therefore, they will go down as a record of, you know, having an arrest in this parking lot, and I assume that's one of the statistics. But in fact, the issue happened inside the store, not in the parking lot. The parking lot had nothing to do with it. So I would question the statistics long and hard before I'd agree to pass anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, that really was the issue back in May, because this actually has come up at two prior meetings. I mean, the question of what, in fact, are the what's the basis for requesting the police department's request an expansion of this law, which is currently law in the four parking garages, to the 19, I think Don Zimmerman said 18, but I count them as 19 parking lots, surface lots, as they call them, citywide. And in May, the police had no statistics. And so I thought, well, maybe they're going to come back with a lot of, you know, cool statistics. Instead, what they came back with were the vice police chief, the deputy police chief, the city attorney, the downtown association with a whole bunch of downtown association merchants, and, well, that was the group that came back. And if you look at the stats, they gave you five parking lots. One of them already has this law. There's only one lot that currently has this law, which is the lot number 9. And the irony here is, if you want to look at the amount of crime or police contacts, excluding the interviews, they call them field interviews, that they do in Parking Lot 9. Parking Lot 9 is a lot right across from the homeless Elm Street meal mission place.
Mm-hmm. That's the one they were talking about a lot.
Where homeless people get regularly harassed and on a very steady basis by the police. A squad car stops there when the line is there. And that people used to be able to, you know, take their food across the street and eat. Instead, now they all have to cram onto this little narrow sidewalk because it's illegal to be in that parking lot, as it will be illegal to be in all of the 18 or 19 other parking lots if and when the city council passes this law. And the question was, well, what kind of stats do you have to show the great crime wave or the why it's a positive thing to give the police the power to make it illegal to walk into a parking lot? And what they did was they gave us a list of arrests, which is good. It was better than last time. Last time they gave us calls for service, which when a police officer makes a drive through an area, that's a call for service, even if he's not called.
Right.
So it's peculiar. So, and this is a little better. They responded to that. You know, kudos to the police department of a sort for that. But what we got was you get a total of, well, they specify, let's say, there are four parking lots, parking lot 7, 8, I guess 23 and 27 combined, and lot 4. And what they have are 37 instances that are either there's alcohol-related arrests or citations, warrant parole violations, vehicle burglaries, and resisting arrest. Now, the significant thing, it would seem to me, would be things like vehicle burglaries. You want to stop people from casing cars, or maybe assaults, or rapes, or, you know, grand theft, or purse snatching, or, you know, intimidation.
Big deal issues.
No, issues that actually involve people.
Yeah.
You know, instead you get alcohol-related arrests, which means like an open container.
Yeah.
It may mean drunk in public, usually means an open container. And there's drug sales and possession. And what you find is, if you look at all these stats, over a year and a half, from January 1st, 2006 to August 30th, 2007, more than a year and a half, there were no more than 40 incidents in each of these lots. So if you figure that's 18 months, that's about 2 or 3 incidents per month. That's not a very high crime rate.
That's true. Robert, I want to say a couple of things, and we may very well disagree on this.
Uh-huh.
Personally, having dealt with a number of police, not only in Santa Cruz but elsewhere in the country, I happen to like our police force a lot. I think that they have a really tough job. I think that they do a very fine job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, occasionally they cross the line, there are problems. But given the police forces that I've come in contact with, I think we ought to be proud of our team. Also, I'd like to point out it was not, as I understand it from the meeting this morning, it was not the police that initiated this request. Remember, that was one of the specific questions asked, and the police said no, they did not ask for this new tool.
Well, remember that there were two answers given to that question. Sheila Coonerty asked, I want to know where this came from, the police force or what, because last time I was told that it was initiated from the police force, and today I was told it wasn't initiated from the police department.
Right.
Who did it? And the answer was a complicated one. It was the Downtown Issues Task Force group and the police department. They said it came from a variety of places because the Downtown Task Force includes the police department. So we'll have to clear the tape, and maybe we will, because I'm going to be playing the tape in the days ahead. We'll hear exactly what their answer was. But I think it's generally, my understanding is it came from Public Works and the police is where this came from, the both those two groups. Public Works includes the Downtown Issues Task Force. And, of course, it's being pushed by Ryan Coonerty, the council member who was at the meeting, as well as Lynn Robinson, another council member who was there.
See, I think from what I know from the police that I know here, if there's an issue, they're going to push it and they're going to admit to it that this is important to them and, you know, get it through. This got so wishy-washy, I'm not convinced that this was the number one agenda for the police to put on, you know, maybe, yeah.
There sure were a lot of cops there for
well, they
a
were,
secondary issue, you know what I mean? They had
deputy no chief. Choice, right?
I don't know.
Your boss is going to be there, you'll show up.
Not necessarily. I mean, last, on May 24th, there were two police officers there. There was, I think, Zach Friend, maybe three, a lieutenant, and I think Sergeant Flippo were there. This time, there was they had the brass out. They wanted to, you know, impress the Downtown Commission to move this thing forward. That was my interpretation. It's true that Kevin Vogel, the deputy police chief, didn't speak. But what was he doing there?
No.
He didn't speak. And similarly,
I didn't speak either, and I was there. So.
Yeah, but you weren't getting paid to be there. You were interested, I guess. You might say he was in uniform. He was on duty. I'm surprised that he would have shown up unless he had a political motivation for being there, which is, I think this is a priority for the police department. Not necessarily a major priority, but they want more tools. They always do, unfortunately, as Ken Cole, to his credit, said that it doesn't mean they're wrong in seeking them. That's what the police feel they need to do. They need more tools. It's, you know, if we can get rid of the presumption of innocence, for example, that's a good tool because then the police department doesn't have to work so hard to convict people. I mean, they're going to be. It might get a lot more criminals off the street, real criminals. It'll also get some innocent people off the street. So the question is, how do you want to address it, and what do you think is the important priority here? And I think I probably differ with you in this. Individual police officers, I'm friendly with a lot of them. But in terms of the policies of the police department, frankly, I'm quite adversarial to what they're doing. I think if they were really interested in dealing with security in these parking lots, they'd be proposing something else other than turning us all into a little snitch, because that's what they're truly doing here.
Well, don't forget, though, the police are carrying out the laws that are set by other people. So to
no,
say the police did it.
They're recommending laws. So that's the problem.
Yeah, but they don't get to vote. I mean, it's the council. You know, you want to go after the right people. And the right people, they're doing their job is the way they look at it. And I have to agree. They are trying to do their job.
I disagree with you. I think.
Okay, good.
No. I mean, let me let you finish what you're saying, though. Go ahead. You think they're just doing their job?
I think that they're doing their job. And I think that if we really want to address the problem, we need to get more activists attending all the town council meetings and all the city meetings. This isn't an issue about the police. This is an issue about how our town works and what kind of laws we're going to accept here.
I think the issue is both. I think the issue is definitely about activists and the community coming together. What you have now is right-wing activism happening. You have the police department organizing meetings in the community that support a police agenda of increased police tools, increased police enforcement, triple fine zones downtown at Halloween. These attacks on Tony Madrigal are a kind of a typical example of where they all showed up at the city council meeting, the police force, to dress down Madrigal for a relatively minor comment. Madrigal is not a big critic of the police department. I wish he were, frankly, because I think there is racial profiling in the police department, as there is in every police department. I think it's a problem, and there is in our society generally. It just happens. And for the police department to say that you can't even talk about this, and to be able to have such an effect on the city council that they shut down discussion, and such an effect on the Sentinel, well, the Sentinel has got its own agenda. But you know, we have a phone line, which, you know, you can call in, and actually there is a caller. I apologize, caller. I haven't even noticed you. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Bob and Robert.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
How late is your coffee house open?
During the week till 9 o'clock, and on the weekends till 11.
Caller, why don't you sign in and say who you are?
Hi, it's Madison Artist. I live downtown.
Indeed.
And you've only been here till 11. You're from the mountains, and you've only been downtown for about a year or two, right?
Right.
Okay, well, let me tell you, Robert doesn't have any background on this because he didn't go to any of the meetings. So you get the drift, because this was downtown people that initiated it. There were neighborhood watch your ass meetings. That's what we call our little club, which is about seven to nine blocks. We had Santa Cruz Neighbors, which is the most powerful, according to what I've been told. Then we have, not Santa Cruz Neighbors. We had Downtown Neighbors was next. They got involved, and there were several meetings and hundreds of people. Then there was Santa Cruz Neighbors, which is more of the fascist of the group, most fascist of them. And they were on it. Then it went to, I don't know, the ABC was down. I personally broke up 20, I don't count fights with kids, 8 kids and down. I don't even count those fights. I only count the fights 8 kids and up. And the police department is so busy, I got to, like, defend.
Madison, let me interrupt you, because are we talking about the parking lots, or are you talking about general police problems on the streets?
That I broke up originated from the parking lot at night. From the wild, rude children of timeout generation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And also on the rape thing, a lot of women don't report the rape. The jail is too small, so they can't arrest people. I've been out there many, many, many times watching where the problems were coming from, because I wanted to be, you know, an eyewitness to what I saw. And
we have no rape reports, however, coming from the parking lots, right?
UCSC screaming, going. I mean, we hear him for 5, 10.
Okay, Madison, we got to focus this conversation, because you can talk about a whole bunch of things for a long period of time, just like I can. You got to get your own show if you want to do that. But if you want to talk about rape coming from the parking lots, of which there are no stats, please do so. Go ahead.
They just shoo them away. They don't arrest them. I've seen it again and again.
You've seen what again and again and again?
Shoo them on.
From where?
Mind that.
From where?
On, but it's dead.
Okay, we're having trouble with the communication here, Madison. You have to respond to this, because I'm not going to take this broad, generic stuff. I really need to focus on the issue. So, are we talking about the parking lots?
Yes, Robert.
Okay, well then, what exactly have you seen in the parking lots?
I just explained. Okay, I've seen women accosted, I've seen drug dealings, I've seen assault, fights, bottles being beamed from the parking lot off people's heads, their cars.
Okay, and
homeless guys being picked up on by big skinheads.
Okay.
I've seen skinheads go after black kids. You name it, I've seen.
What do you conclude? What do you conclude from this?
I mean, yeah.
What do you conclude from this? What are you saying about this?
What I'm saying is that this guy doesn't know what's going on downtown. Before 11 o'clock, before 11, you have no clue what's going on. But you should.
So your point is that our guest here doesn't know what's going on downtown, but you do.
And it's part of our neighborhood and how we want it to run.
Well, I think you both probably have a piece of the puzzle, as they like to say. Anything else? Any question for the guest?
Right. Again.
Any question for the guest?
No, I just hope he gets more involved and active. He's gotten downtown after we brought the Attorney General down, so he missed all the war zone. I did South Central. What you people have in Santa Cruz going on is 10 times worse.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Madison. I'm going to leave it at that. Phone lines are 427-3772 if you'd like to call in. In the studio with me is the man about the latest coffee shop. I think you are the latest coffee shop. Badass Coffee.
No, I think Lulu's is.
Lulu's is? Oh, it opened another
Octagon.
One. It opened the Octagon, yes. Lulu Carpenter is another story entirely.
You can bring Manthri in for
that. Manthri would probably never, ever come in to be interviewed by me. He's he scowls every time I come into his direction, and he's banned me from his coffee shop.
Oh, there you go.
There. So it's he didn't like the fact that I interviewed him when he threw hot coffee on protesters. He didn't like that idea. So that was a problem. You know, we all lose it every now and then, but, you know, I was interviewing him on that subject back in 2003. Anyway, that's another story, it's old news. You have other issues that are concerning you. You said you once were a liberal, now you're a libertarian, and that impacts your perception of how the downtown business association, how the downtown upper echelons work, and maybe how the staff and the city government treats small businesses like Badass Coffee.
Well, it was actually my comments are more about the United States of America and what's happening. That's causing me to rethink my position about government. In Santa Cruz, though, as a business owner, there is one thing I'd like to say. I know that there are a lot of homeless people. Certainly a lot of homeless people come into the store. We generally don't have any kind of problems with it. But just because you're homeless doesn't give you the right to destroy my bathroom. And that's the big problem for me as a business owner. Mm-hmm. I've already spent, I can't tell you, more than $1,000 trying to fix bathrooms because people are coming in doing heroin in the bathroom, flushing metal stuff down the toilets because my shop's full of police. And I, as a business owner, can't afford that. So just because you're homeless doesn't mean
now,
you have
you
extra rights.
You know that
rights.
The people who are doing this are homeless? Or
well,
are
I don't know
remember,
that.
Remember, you're making a serious accusation.
I am. I do not know that. I would assume the fact that they had a bedroll and a pack and everything.
So people with sleeping bags are coming into your store, and shooting up in the vandalizing mistreating
the bathrooms. Right.
And give me an example of, let's say, how in the last week, how frequently has this been done?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, we had an incident that cost like $400. And it was basically somebody had taken the bottom of a can. I didn't even know. I'm not that familiar with the techniques, but mm-hmm. taken the bottle of a small energy drink,
right?
Cut it, and was heating up heroin, and then for whatever reason decided to ditch the evidence by flushing it down my toilet.
So you need a needle injection container or a heroin disposal item in your bathroom. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, this is Anita calling in.
Hey, Anita, how you doing?
I am doing well, Robert. I'm glad to hear that you have Bob on from Badass Coffee. I want to thank him, one, for being on the show, and second, for opening his shop on the Avenue. I think he has the best coffee on the Avenue. And let's not pretend that problems with vandalism in bathrooms hasn't been going on here for years. And any business owner that has opened up their bathroom in the past has had the same problems. They face a big expense with vandals, and we have to admit that people who are homeless, who are poor or have nowhere to go, are often frustrated and take their frustrations out on small businesses that they think are exploiting people just because they're in the business of making profit. But initially I'm calling just because I recognize Bob's voice. I love his coffee shop. I love that he supplies a play area for children. I love that he has great staff. He supplies all those computers. But I've been in there, and I've seen people in there with bedrolls, taking bags of sugar and other things off of his counter.
Shooting up in the bathroom, perhaps?
Well, no, I haven't had to use the bathroom because, fortunately, I live right downtown, and I come home when I need to use the bathroom.
It would be nice to have a public bathroom other than Bob's or Bookshop Santa Cruz's.
No, I don't like to use the public bathrooms. I like to use my own.
Well, we could use yours, but you probably wouldn't like that.
No,
they could
I
put
don't.
Porta potties up.
I
they could, and they did, but they took them down.
But you know, one other comment I have. I'm going to move over and turn my radio down just a tiny bit. Yeah, I don't like. You know, Robert, I feel awful that people are homeless and they don't have places to sleep at night. But I don't think that parking garages are a good place for people with bedrolls to hang out at night. Because let's just say I go to a show late at night and I come out and I go into a parking garage, I don't want to feel intimidated or have all my past history buttons pushed because I see frightening-looking people. Now, you can say that's profiling.
It is.
Well, I don't care.
Anita,
I don't care, Robert. I don't give a shit. Call it profiling.
Well, you and a couple thousand other people. But
well,
you know.
I'm going by experience. Yeah. I'm not just going by what I read in the paper or I hear in the media.
Well,
I'm going
you know,
by
Anita,
my
here's
own
the deal.
Personal experience.
Yeah.
I don't want to be afraid when I come downtown.
Then I'm going to have to give you some anti-fear conditioning and help to assist you in this psychological problem.
Well, no, don't assist me. Continue doing your work and trying to assist the homeless get themselves a place to get settled.
Well,
or to get the support
that's not really my
need.
Job. My job is to make sure the city doesn't criminalize them all out of existence while pretending to help them. That's the problem here in Santa Cruz.
Well, that's a bigger issue than I have expertise on. All I know is I'm a citizen and a patron of downtown business, And thank you, Bob, for coming to town. And I'm going to get off the air.
Hey, Anita, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome, Robert.
You know, again, you know, I have to ask, I mean, I'll closely question you. Does the heroin guy, did he have a backpack?
We actually don't know who it was.
Right. I mean, that's the point. And then suddenly we hear it's a homeless guy. I trace this back to you and say, well, if they have a backpack, they're homeless. But then we find that the actual incident doesn't really involve somebody with a backpack, necessarily. It might. Or somebody who's homeless.
Well,
it might.
Wait, let me clarify it.
Okay.
Because I have video cameras watching the doors,
Okay, fair enough.
Could tell that the last five people in that bathroom before the incident all had bedrolls.
Okay, so five people at bedroom. So you think one? It had to be one of them.
We think it was because it was working. I was just in there before that. But anyway,
so watch your ass if you go into Badass Coffee's bathrooms. I got to say that right. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I mean, my point is, look, I don't care.
Respecting people's bathrooms is an important thing.
Yeah, and actually respecting anything is important, whether you're homeless or not.
Sure.
I would very much like the city to allow me to bring my dogs down Pacific Avenue.
No, that would be wrong. We can't allow dogs on Pacific Avenue. Hi there. Is this a dog on the line? Speak up.
Hi. I have one comment regarding the coffee company.
Sure. What's your name?
Brad.
Go ahead, Brad.
How come it was disappointing to see that before the Badass Coffee Company even opened, they had a sign in their door against the minimum wage campaign. So I thought that wasn't a very nice way to enter the community.
Yeah, what about that there?
That's my comment.
Okay, do you want to stay on the line and have a dialogue, or just asking that question or making the
comment? No, that's just my comment.
No, I'm happy to respond if you want.
All right, bye.
Thanks, Brad. Go ahead, respond.
You know, we thought long and hard about that, and the truth is that a job in a coffee shop is not a career. It's a job, and it's typically a part-time job. If you think that the businesses on Pacific Avenue are rolling in dough, you're wrong. If you think that opening a coffee shop in Santa Cruz and that you can make money at it and it's really easy, you're wrong. It's very, very difficult. And to pay the kind of proposed, I think it was $9.50 an hour minimum wage, I already pay higher than all 58 shops in the franchise. For my employees, it's not a living wage. It never will be, because coffee shops, as a barista, you can't make it as a living wage, and it shouldn't be. Otherwise, coffee would run you, I don't know how much bucks, you know, $20 a cup. So we can't have that. It's economics.
Now, you're saying that as though it's, you know, accepted wisdom, but I mean, what? There have been cities where they have raised the minimum wage, like Santa Fe and San Francisco. Have all the coffee shops gone out of business there? I mean, have you researched that? Because I haven't.
No, I haven't. But I can tell you that it'd be impossible for us to operate. We would not have been able to open, and probably wouldn't have the law passed.
So how many employees do you have?
It varies, probably about 14.
And do you provide health insurance for
no,
them?
No, we have nothing.
And you have some understanding of what the other coffee shops do in town. Do any of them provide help?
Starbucks does.
Thank you so much. And Borders, I suppose.
I really don't know.
Right.
But the point is that a lot of people don't understand from a, you know, they look at this business that came in and, oh, my God. And, hey, it was everything that my wife and I ever had. We wanted to bring something cool to Santa Cruz. That's why we did it. This is it. You know, for us, this is the last big thing we're doing. And we wanted to make it as neat a place as we could make it. We have a six-year-old son, William, who's here in the audience with us. And we wanted to make it very friendly for children like him to come downtown. We weren't seeing a lot of families, and we were pushing our baby carriage for, you know, 4 years or so. So we thought, we could fix this. We could put playgrounds in, and maybe the other stores would take shame and start putting playgrounds in
for
children.
Does that happen at all?
Actually, yeah, I'm seeing that there is plans anyway, mm-hmm. To put in small play areas. And for teenagers, I mean, we have the free computers. I personally think the Internet ought to be free and computers ought to be free. I'm one of the developers of the Macintosh,
uh-huh.
And so that's why I believe that.
Well, let's ask William what he thinks of Badass. William, you've been in Badass Coffee a bit. I imagine you go there regularly, right?
Yeah.
And what do you think? Have they got enough stuff for you to enjoy, or is it boring? What's the deal there?
Well, it's great.
It's great. Why is it great? What do you like about Badass?
Well, we have the kids' play area, so I get to always play there when I see kids and make a lot of new friends.
And what kind of stuff do you play with? Tell me about the kids' play area. What you got there?
Well, we got all these foam blocks, and if you can't get them, well, if you break them, it costs a lot of money.
Oh ho! So you have some. That's part of the expensive ruse. You lure children in, they break the foam blocks, and then you charge them for the. So have you met anybody new, William, in Badass? I mean, in the last couple of weeks, any made any friends or?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about other places? I mean, do you guys go to other stores, or I guess William hangs out in your store a lot, but
he hangs out in our store and in Graphics. Down the street, you know.
Do you feel comfortable? You guys feel comfortable downtown, or are you afraid of the menace of the, the street person, or possibly the police bust, or, the unwanted silver telemarketer person giving out literature for, hey, here you got free silver right around the corner, you know.
I love Santa Cruz. I think that we are so fortunate. I, in my life, have traveled all over the world, and I got to tell you, this is the best there is, because not only is it a great place to live, but in 3-hour drive, you can be in any of the 7 climatic zones that exist on Earth. There's almost nowhere else in the world that is a true statement.
Jungle? Tropical jungle? Where?
Climatic zones. So we have to look at high desert.
No, yeah. I'd say a jungle is a climatic zone. I think we found an exception.
Let's look it up as a definition.
Let me ask you about a couple other issues since you're here. A sleeping ban. You're a merchant. Certainly you know about the controversy around that. You heard me talk about it probably today at the downtown commission. The law that makes it illegal to sleep after 11 o'clock at night. And we know tonight there's space for 40 people and 1,500 to 2,000 people are out there. You support this law? Do you oppose it? Do you have comments on it? What's your thought?
It's a real dilemma. I think everybody's entitled to sleep and not be bothered. I will tell you that I had to change the design of my store, however, because the back entrance used to have a little cubby hole, and every morning we'd come in and there would be feces all over the place in the cubby hole. And so, don't know who did it, but I changed the design so that's no longer a problem.
Instead of providing, let's say, toilet paper and a small portable
bedside commode. I have 2 toilets in there. By the way, I wanted to get back to the bathrooms for a second. I forgot to mention. We try to make very clean bathrooms. We keep them clean. We try to keep them well stocked. And what we were doing was allowing bathrooms only for our customers. And when you buy something, you get a token and you could use the bathroom. Unfortunately, I lost, I think, between 300 and 500 tokens over the course of several months, and I could not figure out why are people taking my tokens? All it says is bathroom token on it. And so we've had to, because people were taking them for whatever reason, we ended up going to a system where you have to ask one of us to open the door, and we'll unlock the door for you. Or if you don't want to wait, you can put a quarter in the door, and the door will open. But it turns out later we found out that you could take our tokens down to the boardwalk and cash them in for prizes.
Oh, there you are. Nobody ever told me about this. So that has probably limited the bathroom trade somewhat, because now there's more of a personal contact.
There is. And the other thing, the lady on the phone before actually mentioned it, and I had forgotten. When we first opened, we had a real bad problem in that we noticed a lot of things disappearing off the condiment table, a lot more than should have been. And so we started watching the videos. And we would see a lot of people enter from the back door with a cup in hand that said Badass Coffee on it, typically empty cup. They would come over, fill it up with half and half, put a bunch of sugar in, and leave. I have no idea whether those people are homeless or not homeless, but it's something that I couldn't afford to do. I've also had incidents where people came in and added alcohol to the water. So we've had to change and go to half.
No LSD in the water.
Pardon?
No LSD.
No, it was nothing fun. It was, and children were drinking the water, so we've had to put in bottled water, which I don't, it's another expense to me, which I don't want to do. I've had to.
By adding alcohol to the water, you mean you had a kind of a water dispenser?
No, we had pitchers of water.
Pitchers
you go up and help yourself.
And people would add, vodka to the water?
We think it was vodka, yeah. couple of incidents like that. And so
that's very strange. I've never
Actually, most people would drink it, so why would you waste it?
To, yes, loosen up the population.
No, so little things like that cost a fortune to a small business owner. I mean, it's just me and my wife. And so when we have to incur, you know, the loss of, I don't know, 30 gallons of half and half a week and all the sugar and everything, I can't afford to feed what I'm presuming is a hungry population.
So we're talking 30 gallons of half and half a week. That's what you found was...
was way back when. This was about a year when we first opened.
And
30 half gallons.
30
sorry.
Half gallons. So about 15 gallons a week.
Yeah.
So you kind of caught me at the end of the action. I should, you know, return all that.
Now it's going to take you a long time to open those little tiny containers.
It's
of half
a real
and half.
Pain in the ass of the little tiny containers, I'll tell you. I really I can't stand them at the county building when I do that. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. In the studio with me is Bob Glass, who is the owner of Badass Coffee. He is the only person who voted against the 15-minute parking lot law, the law that makes it illegal to go into a parking lot unless you have a car or bicycle, and then only for 15 minutes. He voted against it in the sense that he raised his hand against it when asked what the opinion was. The only merchant in the crowd that I saw that did that, I think 10 others voted in favor of it, you unpopular guy, or basically a man who votes against the stream. Though I think everybody else would agree with you on a lot of these other issues. Perhaps this is an angry merchant calling. Hi, you're on Free Radio. What's your name, caller?
Madison,
Hi, Madison.
Bob,
welcome
I
back.
I agree with Bob.
Yeah, about what?
Regarding the police department not being as fascist as, say, like San Jose.
Uh-huh.
They're not quite as good as San Francisco, but I've dealt with them out front with all nationalities except...
glad to hear it.
But you have a question. And I've never seen racial profiling whatsoever.
Okay.
I've seen them kick prostitutes. I've seen some physical abuse, which is not okay.
Right.
But
what have you done when you, Madison, when you saw that happen? What was your, how did you deal with that? When you
I just, you know, I stand there and make sure that, you know, you stand there and watch and let them know you're watching.
Right, definitely.
Make noise, blah blah. And other people usually do too. I agree with him about the lack of understanding of small business here. I mean, I had three windshields blown out and I'm still waiting for the parents to pay me for my windshield for
small
your kids.
Court,
you know
Madison.
Who did it.
Small
they were
claims
busted.
Court.
But, you know, one day it was a deal that floated. It's a recession. The deals are hard to get, and it would have floated for my contractor.
Gotcha, gotcha. Now let's
all the jobs.
Okay, okay. I appreciate that. Any other thoughts on what we've been talking about?
The blown-out window?
No, not about the blown-out window. We weren't really talking about that. What we
but
were talking
about.
This
is what happens downtown, and it's this myriad of cars.
There are a lot of things that happen downtown, good and bad, but we are kind of discussing, I guess, the plight of small businesses downtown and also the plight of people, you know, the general community faced with this new, you ain't going to walk into parking lots no more, Mr. Law.
Well, Robert, tell us what the other, okay, we had one guy who voted against it.
Actually, it was one woman who voted against it on the commission, one merchant in the audience who expressed a contrary opinion when asked about that issue. Go ahead.
Well, what were the, like, all the people that voted for?
We're actually going to go into that, Madison. But
you are good.
We will.
Okay. And then you're not a woman, Robert. You don't have no idea what it's like to walk in our shoes. Not at all.
Not as a woman. That's
about
for
that
sure.
A lot harder.
That's
Thank
for
you.
Sure. That's for sure. Nor do I claim to at this time. A Tiresias, I am not. So, you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, and I, as the time begins to march onward, I think Bob's thoughts are turning toward home, and perhaps William's thoughts are turning toward bed. Who knows what's cooking? What are your thoughts turning to? If you got any questions for either of us, you better call in, or you will lose your chance, 427-3772. And again, I'm going to be talking in more detail about the Downtown Commission's shenanigans soon. I've asked you about the sleeping ban. What about the downtown ordinances? You think it should be illegal to
Your dog?
To walk your dog? There you go.
What's with that? It was like, what do you mean I can't have my dog?
You know, I don't really know the origins of that. I can fantasize, oh, it stops poo-pooing on the street, you know, or, you know, it's...
The folklore was that homeless people had dogs. The dogs were pooping on the street, so to clean
Blame
up the street,
it on
get
the
rid
homeless.
Of
yeah,
that was it.
Fine. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know,
that's
it's,
what I was told.
Right. I mean, I think it's interesting. I don't know. I think it's Well, it's used against homeless people a lot these days. That is to say, middle-class people who walk their dogs, at least I find, maybe you find differently, I should ask you about this, do you see a discriminatory standard of enforcement on this dog stuff?
No.
You don't?
No,
tell
I don't. I've seen police tell various people nicely dressed, hey, I'm sorry, you're not allowed on Pacific with that dog.
Have you ever seen anybody gotten a ticket for it who was a middle-class
person? No, but I don't think they've ever given a ticket for it.
You know they have.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, to homeless people, but not to people who are well-dressed.
I will note that there is I can't think of the name of it, but there's a new store down that sells dog and cat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they have signs up saying you can bring your dog in. So I was
trying
to figure out how you would get in.
Special interest legislation again.
Yeah.
What about...
Now, let me just tell you that if and when the city ever gets off their butt and finally allows me to put my outdoor seating in, the Pearl Alley side will have dog bowls because you can bring your dog there. Unfortunately, the city has chosen to sit on my permits.
Yes. Well, now tell me about that. How long have you been trying to get this back scene, is the back furniture thing opened up?
Actually, our public hearing was August 1st, and so this is a couple of months later. And
is that usual? I mean,
it's highly unusual.
And you think, have you talked to any of the bureaucrats and found out what their secret agenda is here, if they have one?
No, I couldn't
Once
say.
Once they hear you talking about it publicly, you will never get anything
never.
Done.
Yeah, that could be true.
Yeah, well, I actually have no idea if that's true. They probably don't even listen to the show. But what about the other laws, the laws that concern me more? Like, there's a law that says you can't sit after dark with a sign saying, need money for food. You think that's a good law?
You know, I would have a hard time answering the question because I can see both sides of the coin. As a family coming down with little children, do I want to see panhandling every 2 feet? No, I don't.
But after dark, it's not allowed. You're more likely to have your kids during the day. So maybe what you're saying is, let's get rid of these damn panhandlers during the day and let them panhandle at night.
I think panhandling is your right, and probably
not in Santa Cruz, it isn't.
Well, a lot of places have ordinances against aggressive panhandling anyway.
Well, aggressive panhandling in Santa Cruz means any request, even a written silent request on a sign made from a seated position after dark or verbal.
Yes.
It also means at any time, if you're seated on any public property, that is technically illegal in Santa Cruz to panhandle. So theoretically, you have to stand up with your sign. And so since you've been told this, is that a law that you would like to see the downtown commission, let's say, re-ratify or the city council re-ratify?
I'd have to research it. I wouldn't just jump in and say yes or no.
Okay.
I like to think these things through a little bit.
I appreciate that. A reflective answer, and you won't get pilloried so quickly by your fellow merchants once they hear what you've said. What about the law that says you can't bounce a rubber ball on the sidewalk downtown?
Whoa, do you know about that, William?
No.
It's illegal to bounce a ball on the sidewalk. That's one of the Porter Riley ordinances that passed in 2002.
So, I don't know. I'm speechless. I mean,
well, you don't want to commit yourself.
You look
this.
At
I mean, it could be there could be a very positive aspect of this.
Why
law.
Would they ban bouncing balls on a street?
It's not appropriate. You may remember today's downtown commission, we heard Jerry Mandel, the downtown commissioner, say parking lots are not parks. We don't want them throwing frisbees around in the parking lots.
I heard that.
And likewise, we don't want them throwing frisbees or balls on Pacific Avenue. That is was some of the rationale. The same crew of merchants that gave us this parking lot panic law gave us this don't bounce a ball downtown, as well as expanding the no panhandling zone to 14 feet, which means you can panhandle, meaning peacefully and quietly panhandle, alone by yourself during the daytime hours, 3 feet away from everybody else, on Pacific Avenue, certain parts of it. But on any other street in town, it's illegal because no street is 14 feet, no curb is 14 feet wide.
Oh, clever.
It's clever. It's nice. Particularly if you're not outside and you don't have to panhandle. So there's a lot of stuff that a lot of merchants, or like yourself, aren't really aware of that causes a lot of resentment in the homeless community. And when you hear of us picketing Bookshop Santa Cruz, the lair of Vice Mayor Coonerty, you know, it's not because we don't think it's not nice of him to have bathrooms that are open to the public. I think it's great. You know, he does that anyway. And I think, you know, I would encourage you to do that. I understand it's it's hard to do because it costs money and there are problems that arise. We need real ways of dealing with heroin problems instead of just arresting everybody for heroin and saying that's the way to deal with this problem. It obviously doesn't work, but it's what the police department's solution is, and that's what they continue to do. It's what the legislator's solution is, and the city council proposes nothing different. Not that they necessarily could do anything about the drug problem in that way, but I'd like to see, you know, different solutions. We have a caller here. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Your name?
Hi, Robert.
Caller?
Madison.
Madison, you're back. You be careful now, Madison. This better be relevant.
Yeah, regarding the panhandling, I can tell you the history of that. I call it the tchotchke effect. Californians, like I told you, we used to have artists table from Mendocino to San Diego on all the little downtown side pullouts on the Highway 1, Carmel River Bridge. And what happened is we got these East Coasters, and they came here, and they, instead of having art, had more tchotchkes or little scum. And then they
Madison, I don't really know what you're talking about. Tchotchkes, scum. Can you speak English for us here?
And we have a problem with that right now.
A problem with what?
Well, the fact that if we would restructure our economic intention here, saying, okay, we're banning T-shirt shops and tchotchkes, we want galleries.
Am I missing something? What is a tchotchke? Bob, do you know what a tchotchke is?
It's a little thingy.
A little who?
Thingy.
It's a thingy. Okay. Madison, you're kind of wandering around here, or at least my mind is wandering, so try to be more succinct about this and tell me exactly what your point is about the history of panhandling.
The point is that before they outlawed art on tables, people weren't panhandling. They had art out. Whatever they made, leather, they had drawings, pipes, okay, all kinds of different things. And they're actually an added police force. They have more intention. But the minute they outlawed that, okay, you can't have that, the tchotchkes went inside, the galleries went away, and that's when you got panhandlers.
Gotcha. Thank you, Madison. Actually, that's not true, but it is true that it's actually legal to sell your own artwork if you've designed it yourself, even though the police will tell you not to. There's court decisions which back that up. And indeed, locally, Mike True, who sold his own music, when he was arrested, he successfully got a settlement for the city for false arrest when Sergeant Baker arrested him. But I don't think it's true that panhandling is because artists are harassed by police. I think it's true they are harassed by police, but I think that panhandling is sort of independent of that. You're tuned to Free Radio, and I want to thank Bob, who looks like he's preparing to make a graceful exit from the studio. Well, I don't know if I've changed your mind on anything, Bob, but I appreciate you having expressed your view, and I think other people out there are glad to hear, you know, from the merchant community, or at least one member of the merchant community.
Yeah, I mean, I know we were talking about Santa Cruz and issues here, but quite frankly, I would love it for everybody to write a letter to the president. Let's talk about wiretapping. Let's talk about why the Constitution is no longer relevant in their opinion in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So many issues.
I'll be talking about the Patriot Act decision today, the one that ruled part of it unconstitutional. But see, I know that it means nothing to have a bunch of bogus Democrats on the city council saying what you say, let's write to the president, while they do the same kind of shit locally with the police department, where they will, you know, allow for a political surveillance, and they'll allow the police chief to set his own rules. It doesn't mean anything to say I'm against Bush's doing this, but then do the same thing yourself in this little town.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an imperfect world.
Well, we can do something about it here. So, you know, when someone starts talking about Bush, I say, okay, what about Riley? You got Riley locally. Are you willing to hold her to the same standard? And if you're not, you're not serious.
Actually, I was shocked to find out that the mayor is not elected. What's with that?
Well, she is elected. However, the actual mayor is rotated once. In other words,
but I don't get to vote for a mayor.
No, you don't. It's rotated among the council, and if you don't like it, you can move. As I guess Teresa of Union Grove Music said, you can move to another town if you don't like it. Actually, I kind of like Teresa. She was one of the people who actually may be on the show. We're going to be playing some of that stuff now. And, the mayor is an elected position in the sense that the council, the person with the highest votes, traditionally, the council votes its own mayor out of when it convenes. I guess at every election every 2 years, the highest vote person becomes the mayor. Although I guess it's really a matter of the choice by the city council itself. Like it's like they choose their own chair. The mayor is the only difference between the mayor and other council members is she gets paid twice as much. I think it's $2,000 a month instead of
a parking spot.
She gets a parking spot. She also gets to set the agenda for the city council. So
I don't know. It strikes me as it makes it powerless as a position if you're not voted directly.
The city manager is the boss in Santa Cruz. Dick Wilson runs the show here, and he always has, in my view. I mean, you know, the city attorney, the city manager, and the police chief. These are the powerful figures, maybe the head of the redevelopment agency.
Well, just in closing, before we leave, I want to say again, having lived in a lot of places, I went to 23 schools in my life. I've traveled, I can't tell you how many different countries. We have it pretty nice here, and we ought to be grateful that there's a lot of people that are working very hard to try to make Santa Cruz a cool place. And we don't always agree with each other or with their opinions, but in the end, we can look back and smile and say, hey, we live here and it's cool.
I would say compared to Baghdad, Santa Cruz is definitely a step forward. Does that make me feel better when I see them, the way they treat homeless people, generally speaking, in terms of sleeping ban laws and such?
Go to Washington, D.C.
No.
That's where I lived.
Well, Los Angeles treats homeless people better now than Santa Cruz in terms of the sleeping ban laws. As I was saying, Los Angeles has a court decision which says you can't give people tickets at night. But Santa Cruz will not enforce that court decision here, the Jones decision.
So, well, Robert, thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you for coming in and dealing with the different inquiries. And, you know, come again.
And we hope you have a great badass day.
I'll be expecting access to a bathroom, an appropriate cup of coffee, and a back rub when I come to the... if I choose to ever buy a cup of coffee at Badass.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
See you later.
Appreciate your being in here. And thank you, William. Appreciate your being patient with us. Thanks.
No.
All right, man. So, you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. I think what I'm going to do now is go directly into the infamous Downtown Commission itself. That's the body that met and did its thing today, whether we like it or not. And before we actually hear them, we'll hear a kind of an interview of a little something that happened prior, because I showed up at 8:30, or actually 8:15, and Joe Schultz... Jumbo Gumbo Joseph Schultz provided rolls and coffee. And here's some of that whole discussion of, well, a little of the intro and then a little of the beginning of the Downtown Commission.
September 27th, here at City Hall, about 8:15. And me and two other folks are hanging out, perhaps enjoying the sun, perhaps waiting for the Downtown Commission to begin its 8:30 meeting. I'm here talking with a Homies for the Homeless sleepout man. Your name, sir?
Malcolm Barth.
And Malcolm, you're back in town after you're kind of recovering from a hip injury?
Yes, I kind of twisted my left side of my hip a little bit playing basketball, but at least it wasn't anything really major. It's some stuff I had to work with the doctors and stuff, so it's getting better day by day.
So how many nights did you sleep out here? We're standing, I'm standing at City Hall waiting for the Downtown Commission to begin, but it was on these grounds that you spent a number of days sleeping illegally.
Yeah, about 6 days. We were just trying to make some humane changes for the whole of the community, and we seem to be running into a brick wall every time.
Now, you say you think you'll be a plaintiff in the lawsuit that will attempt to duplicate what has been done now in, I guess, Los Angeles, San Diego, Richmond, and more recently Fresno, to make it legal for homeless people to sleep somewhere?
Yes, whatever it takes where we can have some type of suitable living conditions within this community. That's basically my goal and hopefully the goal of those that I work with.
Now, are you from Santa Cruz?
No, but I've been here a number of years.
And why don't you have a job and why don't you live indoors, sir?
I'm a free spirit. My job is to live out my dreams, my goals that don't have conventional standards attached to them.
So you actually don't have an economic necessity to sleep outside. This is a choice. You are homeless by choice?
Yes, and I love it.
Okay. So you're going to go make your comments now. Perhaps you're going to try to schedule an appointment with some council member, or is that it would require, it looks like your knee is not in the best of shape.
Well, it's getting better than it was. I can kind of limp over there and hopefully make an appointment that they'll be able to hear, and we'll go from there.
Okie doke. Anything you've seen in the last month or two? I mean, have you been out of Santa Cruz after the end of the Homies for the Homeless protest?
Not too really. I haven't been in Santa Cruz within this last week, off and on, so there's been a lot of different changes that I really don't approve of that the city is trying to force on everyone.
What changes are those?
Morning.
Well, just the way the vibe that's going with how we're not going to be allowed to assemble in parking areas for more than 15 minutes.
Not at all. You can't assemble at all in parking areas. You can only enter a parking area if you have a car or a bicycle. 15 minutes if you have a car or bicycle, 0 minutes if you have no car or bicycle.
Yeah, that kind of like just stops a really good thing that we were doing as far as just good music and healing. I don't know what the reasoning behind the city council is for that major decision.
Of course, it hasn't reached the city council yet. It's going to the downtown commission, and the people that are presenting it are the Santa Cruz Police Department and the Public Works Department, which feels it would improve safety in the parking lots and make them more appropriate, because parking lots are for cars, not people.
Oh, I stand corrected. I have mixed feelings about that. I believe parking lots should be pretty free to come and go as you choose, as long as you're not doing anything destructive or notoriously loud or something.
Well, thank you. And again, we've been talking with
Malcolm Barr.
Will you be making these comments today at the downtown commission meeting?
Yes, I will.
Well, then we'll have to hear them again, I suppose, and then ponder them.
And there was only one item on the downtown commission agenda, one action item, and that was this item pressed again by the police department and public works to fundamentally change the face of Santa Cruz in terms of how police and the public can deal with those large public spaces, open public spaces previously accessible to all of us, parking lots, where a lot of things happen. People may have private meetings, people have public meetings, people kind of come and hang out for one reason or another, and with actually very little negative impact that anybody has noticed hitherto. And in fact, the stats here, again, as I mentioned before, the police department's own stats claim 114 arrests in the parking lot. This is the most, actually, and in parking lot number 9, where people are not allowed to walk in. They have more arrests in that particular area than anywhere else. They didn't break down the arrests very, very clearly. The categories they had were drug sales, possession, warrants, and vehicle burglary. The other parking lots, there was a total of 101 arrests for 18 months. 96, that was in parking lot number 7. 96 arrests in lots 23 and 27, again for 18 months. Alcohol, warrants, 2 for assault, and 1 for battery. Over a period of 18 months. That's not much. And you got to imagine how many innocent contacts, how many pleasant and positive things have happened. This was nowhere discussed by the downtown commission, nowhere mentioned by the police department reports, nowhere mentioned in the public works staff reports. The so-called, what I call, the unintended consequences of closing off vast amounts of public space for the convenience of parking attendants and police, and because of the apprehensions of some merchants. And because of the notion, frankly, it seems to me that there really is a culture war aspect here, where what they're really doing is saying, we don't want certain kinds of people to be gathering in parking lots. Now, some of it may be alcohol-related and have violence involved. But, you know, that's a kind of a problem where you know, you might localize it. You might say, well, during certain hours, we're going to patrol it more heavily, or certain lots next to certain clubs may have to be special rules have to be initiated because of a specific problem that keeps developing again and again. But the absurd claim that all downtown parking lots are now going to be illegal to walk into, which was passed forward as a recommendation today by the Downtown Commission, really belies belief for me. I kind of really find it hard to believe. In a certain sense, I don't, because, well, it's a kind of friendly fascism. They want you to be your own, have your own little inner policeman, keeping an eye on yourself, and doing all this policing, being afraid that the police might get you, or that one of the 11 cameras that Bob of Badass Coffee might be on you, and, you know, might be reacting and keeping a record of what you're doing. This is the Big Brother society, whatever you want to call it. And it's a kind of society that I don't think we want. At least I don't want it in Santa Cruz. How about you? 427-3772 for call-in number here at Free Radio. And again, we're listening to the Downtown Commission met today at 8:30 in the morning, in case you wonder why you didn't hear about it. And here is some more of the... This is the oral communications period. All seven commission members were present. They had the city attorney present, a vice police chief, the deputy police chief. They had Zach Friend, who I regard as a very amiable police propagandist, up there on the dais as part of the staff. And a number of people were present. We're going to hear some more here from this downtown commission meeting.
Please confine your comments to 3 minutes.
I'll give it a lot, but 3 minutes for sure. Hello, my name is Bernard Klitzner, and I'm a homeless activist. And I come here again, you know, to ask you, I think, for about the fourth time to have hearings on the downtown ordinances and also on the sleeping dam. Lately, we've been having a lot of problems around those issues, especially there has been a lot of stuff around protest and so-called vandalism. But we never talk about the vandalism, you know, of the poor, of the homeless, like when the police tear down homeless people's camps, things like that, or when they take their backpacks. None of that kind of vandalism is ever addressed. I would like to urge you, you know, to humbly take that on. It's going to get worse and worse for our side. Thank you very much.
Commission members, my name is Robert Norris, and of course I second what Mr. Klitzner says of the human rights organization. This commission can actually do something significant around this issue, whatever your views are on the matter. I know that it's a controversial issue, because there's a great deal of tension that arises between members of the community and members of the city council when the council refuses to act or even discuss these issues, when other cities, large cities, Los Angeles, San Diego, Richmond, have changed their laws and police practices to recognize that people have to sleep at night somewhere. Not anywhere, not everywhere, not in every business, not all around the town, but in some places. And the federal courts have found that. That is a decision and a precedent that governs us. And the reason that it isn't enforced here is because a lawsuit has not formally been filed and reached the courts. And that's going to be happening. We're actually having a meeting with plaintiffs on Saturday to begin that process in a more specific way. We have attorneys who are willing to take that case. But why is it necessary to do that? Why is it necessary to use a legal hammer, if you will, when in fact we are a community that can get together that has discussed this issue in the past and that realizes we have 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people who have no legal place to go. There's space tonight for 40 people. That'll change on November 15th, and you have in your audience, Ken Cole is the head of the Homeless Services Center, and I think he can verify some of these stats, though we disagree about what's emergency walk-in shelter and what's long-term or secondary or shelter of a different kind. But there is walk-in shelter tonight for only 40 people, and there are 1,500 to 2,000 people out there. So what are they going to do? They don't disappear. And they become a problem in the downtown area because there's no way to address it unless commissions like this start discussing it and bring it to the city council. I notice you have only one item on today's agenda. I mean, that's scandalous as far as I'm concerned. That is a lack of public responsibility on your part. I mean, missing also is public bathrooms. You know, I mean, what is that? That's been deep sixed, and so people instead will be arrested for urinating and defecating and clogging up the bathrooms of the bookshop Santa Cruz. You know, I mean, this kind of thing is ridiculous. Private businesses should not have to take this burden on. There are really public requirements here that I think your commission has something to say on. There's a whole bunch of other things that, you know, might be brought up here, but there's no time. There's a resurgence of First Amendment concerns downtown as far as some of us are concerned. The police are again arresting people for chalking legally with erasable chalk on the sidewalk. The panhandling ordinance is coming up for a matter of concern. As a Berkeley, as you may know, doesn't have a panhandling ordinance the way we do because they know it's unconstitutional. That hasn't been challenged yet in court, but it's coming up too. It's not just illegal to ask abusively for money downtown. It's illegal to have a sign silently after dark asking for anything of value or food quietly and saying nothing off to the side. That's a crime. So please consider these issues, and please consider that you have a role to play that you're not playing, and you're choosing not to play it. Don't be manipulated by your staff. Put these issues on the agenda. Take some action. And, you know, you can become a proactive force in this matter. We can change the matter from, you know, street actions to actions in a more rational form. Thank you very much.
Okay, are there any announcements? Okay. Let's go on to approval of the minutes of May 24th, 2007.
I think there's someone's name is spelled wrong. I think it's Bernard Klitzner with an N, isn't it?
Yes. I have a comment, member of the public. I want to thank the commission for the minutes, which are much better than the city council minutes. They're extensive and they're articulate. I do wonder, I gave a flyer to this commission the last time I was here in May. I don't think it's attached, unless it, perhaps it was not passed on to the secretary here. I'm not
sure. They're not attached to the minutes themselves. They're included in the permanent record, but not attached to the minutes.
How can the public get a copy? How do you aware of those?
They
have to ask for, and that's another separate file, or how is that?
They're only kept as hard copies.
Okay, so if somebody, the public wants to know what's attached to each of these meetings, they ask for a separate, all the documents attached.
Right.
That's the way to do it. Thank you.
I actually was concerned that people, members of the public who brought documents about the issue, I mean, it was the document I brought had to do with criticisms of the parking garage, a parking lot expansion law, and a copy was given to the downtown commission, and yet it was not available as part of the packet for people to look at. I guess, you know, the question arises, you know, how difficult is it going to be? I mean, if you're going to be reviewing the same issue 3 months later, but public documents that are presented to the commission from the public suddenly disappear and you don't get to see them and you have to make some sort of special request that they be brought out of cold storage, it doesn't seem appropriate. And I let the rather formidable staff member who runs this show, I don't know her name, but she's often helpful in getting tapes, but in this matter, you know, it's really important for people to require that public documents be as accessible as possible. Not that it makes a hell of a lot of difference when you're dealing with entrenched bureaucracies, but at least, I was going to say, you can get your message out. That's not necessarily true, but at least you have more chance of coherently forming your message if you can see the documents you need to see.
Just before we consider approving the minutes, and that is, I did go on the city website yesterday to also try to look at the minutes for our previous meeting on the web, and the link was not active. It wasn't working. And I think that if members of the public want to be able to access this resource, that we should make sure that it's available.
I move that we approve the minutes.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Minutes approved.
I will abstain.
Okay. Thanks, Ron. I want to introduce Ron Slapp. He's our newest commissioner. And Ron, do you want to do a 1 minute snippet of who you are?
My name is Ron Slack. I am the publisher of Good Times. I have been for the last 6 years. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California, and my wife and I currently live in Santa Cruz. And I'm very happy to be on the commission and look forward to what it has to bring us.
Great, thanks, Ron. It's really good to have you on the commission. Thank you very much. Okay, next is a presentation. We have today here Teresa Buca. She's a
interesting to hear that the Good Times publisher is now a member of the Downtown Commission. Does that mean we're actually going to see some pungent analysis of the whole situation in the Good Times? No, I don't think so. Why do I say that? Well, I mean, he's not the writer, so maybe, you know, that's not his forte anyway. I do note the Good Times is carrying more of a contemporary political stuff, current political stuff, topical stuff, at least in one section. That's what I noticed when I looked over some of their material in today's Good Times. They got a lot of it wrong when they were talking about homies for the homeless and the political protests there, and a lot of it seemed rather prejudiced. I'm looking at it over now. It's called The Ticker. It doesn't say who writes it under news. They call it Northern Anarchy. After a summer of escalating protest actions at City Hall that included a six-day homies for the homeless campout, public testimony and picketing, and discussion of the city's camping ban, things took a criminal turn on September 19th when anonymous homeless advocates took their message to the complex's adobe walls. Now, maybe there's some special cameras or intelligence that allows the writer of the story to know that whoever graffitied the walls was a homeless advocate. But I don't. Nobody came up to me, and I've gotten actually no secret information from anybody that said, hey, how'd you like the message I wrote on the wall? Nobody's done that and said that to me. So I don't know who did it. And for my money, it might as easily be someone who wants to discredit homeless advocates. And yet, here's a man or a woman writing this story about the ticker, who has some special information which I lack. I don't think so. I think this is simply prejudice, the kind of prejudice we heard from Bob when he suggested that he assumed it was a homeless person, although, you know, admittedly a guy with a backpack and a sleeping bag might well be a homeless person, maybe a traveler, when he talked about who vandalized or potentially vandalized his bathroom. The sleeping ban, this article continues, essentially prohibits camping or sleeping on beaches or parks within city limits between the hours of 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. No. It prohibits all sleeping on all public property and even in your car when legally parked between 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. So the hours are wrong. And it's a much more sweeping ban, a sweeping sleeping ban. But the writer of the story doesn't seem to know that, even though he or she has probably been around for some time. Discovered in the early morning hours by police, the walls of City Hall were tagged red and black with anarchy signs and profanity directed at Councilmember Mike Rotkin. Similar vandalism occurred the same evening, this is interesting and new to me, on the Bay Federal ATMs adjacent to Clouds Restaurant in downtown Santa Cruz. Critics of the sleeping ban maintain that the law is both unconstitutional and discriminatory to low-income persons. The city issues between 30 and 60 citations a month for violations of the ban. Not true. Between 60 and 80, I would say. While supporting homeless services to the tune of $400,000 annually, homeless advocates believe that even this sum doesn't do enough to shelter Santa Cruz's relatively large homeless population. Of course, you don't hear that there's shelter for 40 people per night from all that money spent. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hey, Robert. It's Linda.
Hey, Linda.
I wanted to pose a question, a rhetorical question.
Say that again?
I want to pose a rhetorical question to you.
Well, please do.
What if it doesn't matter whether there was any poop streak anywhere in or around the bathroom, but what mattered to whoever set that in motion was that it got reported in the Sentinel? like what happened with the bird poop in the cup over at the town clock before they decided that the park.
I got to tell you, I don't quite follow you. Can you rephrase it?
I'm trying to suggest in the form of my question. There could have been no poop out of place. It's just a kind of nasty thing, like accusing people that aren't homeless as being homeless, because there's a preconceived idea.
Now, what are we talking about exactly here?
What you're just talking about, reading the paper in the Sentinel, right?
No, I'm reading from the Good Times, today's Good Times.
Okay. I thought you had said something about the poop report.
So, whatever I'm reading from, what are you saying about your point?
I don't have any reason to believe that somebody did that just because someone recorded someone did it and someone else published it in the daily paper. It brings to mind how likely it is that nothing ever happened, but people are so scared of the word poop.
So are you talking about there were claims that at City Hall somebody smeared feces on the walls of a bathroom, and then there was claims at the bookshop Santa Cruz something similar happened at the, and we heard Bob here talk about his toilets being clogged. I got to tell you, I tend to take those accounts seriously.
I'm not talking about the second or the third or the hundredth one. I'm talking about the first one. So you showed me your legal documents. I've asked some questions on my own. There's no evidence anywhere in the world except the Santa Cruz Sentinel that I've seen.
No evidence of what?
That someone pooped the City Hall downtown that wasn't allowed to be used for that evening when the vigil started.
There's no evidence that somebody clogged up the toilet or shat on the floor or whatever.
There's poop streaks on the wall. That's what it said in the Sentinel.
Right. You know, it's interesting. I tend to agree with you on that because I kind of hung out at City Hall and I took regular reports from homeless people there, and they did mention a problem in the bathroom, but they didn't mention anything about poop on the City Halls. Now, it could have been that, you know, very speedy parking or bathroom attendants came and cleaned it up before the homeless people who were there did. Although the homeless people who were doing the homies for the homeless protest were trying to be very, my impression was, they were trying to be very responsible in what they were doing.
I thought so too.
Perhaps a little too responsible, actually. They're a little too controlling in some respects. But, you know, I don't know. I guess
this is a hairline thing for me, Robert. So what I'm trying to say is the difference between somebody said there's poop streaks on the wall and it gets printed in the paper and any evidence of it happening are worlds apart for me.
I think that's a good point, and I think that's the reason we need to find out why I called Zach Friend, the man who made the report in the Sunday Sentinel, the Sunday after the early August Homies for the Homeless protest, tried to get him to call back, and he never did. He wouldn't call me back. So instead, I went to the police department seeking records on this, and the records I'm getting are rather ambiguous. It's hard to fathom that. I'm still working on those records.
You showed me a couple days ago?
I believe so. Yeah, the dispatch records, those so-called incident recalls.
Yeah,
which
I saw that.
The traffic.
Right,
well, of course, that was for the first 3 days. If I were going to get the last 4 days when this incident supposedly occurred, I would have had to pay another $25 or $30 for a lot of what looked like unintelligible gabble, and I didn't want to do it until I understood how to read it. But I am,
Maybe I'm wrong. It's possible that it actually happened, but so far,
the issue here is safety and sanitation for poor people in Santa Cruz, not, you know, is one bathroom misused at one point? And I'm afraid that's going to be my last word on that. Any other thoughts on this?
Well, my question was about the police or whatever bureau using the media because they know they're more likely to be listened to, just like cops in a jury or in front of a judge. Well, juries anyway. To propagate something that may not be true at all. This didn't happen when Sandy Loringer and everybody was under the clock. There was no poop from bird in town soup. But that everybody in town thinks there was because somebody said, what if?
Yeah, people don't know what you're talking about. But what you were talking about, of course, is the great food fight of 1989 when Mayor Wormhout decided that, you know, She didn't want to have homeless people gathering at the town clock to eat meals because it was embarrassing to the downtown businesses. And so she, through the county health department, got an injunction against it. And in order to bypass that injunction, we brought in dummy buckets of food that weren't real food. We had the police would go grab the dummy buckets, and then we'd bring in the real food and feed people. And they claimed that the dummy food was, we were poisoning people with dummy food, and that it was all nasty and all that sort of thing. Anyway, it was, your point is well taken. I think the police department in the past has either erred or intentionally tried to smear. I mean, we know that there are COINTELPRO operations nationally. And frankly, because I think this is a culture war in Santa Cruz, too, I think, you know, there's no public safety problems in the parking lots of any kind. What there is there's cultural renaissance that goes on there, and there's a different kind of culture that goes on there, which some people find frightening, some people find menacing. There's a drug culture, too, which a lot of people don't like to some extent. There's marijuana use, and this becomes the pretext for claiming a public safety problem, and that becomes the basis for shutting off public space to everybody because it's somehow necessary for public security, which is a bunch of crap.
And the media, the commercial media, are used to turn it into extreme emotionalism.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, they want to drum up support for it. And you can see this actually in the commentary. If you go on the Sentinel websites, you'll see the extreme hostility to people like Tony Madrigal for suggesting the possibility of racial profiling in the police department.
Something everybody that lives where I used to, or in the beach flats, knows for a fact happened. And the whole town is like, oh, well, we don't listen to those people anyway.
Well, it's actually, I mean, the fact of the matter is you've got a few, you know, I don't know how many people are actually, you know, stoking the fires of, you know, Madrigal, as far as I'm concerned, as I've said before. I'm not terribly impressed.
He has more courage than the whole rest of them.
I don't think he has a lot of courage. I think he does know. I think he speaks without thinking, and then he has to cover his ass, and that's what this is all about. But the fact is, in this case, what he says is plausible, and I think true, and that's an important fact.
And they will shut him up, but they can't shut everybody up unless we want to let them.
All right. Anything else, Linda?
No. Thank you for your time.
Sure. Thanks. Call again if you'd like. Phone lines are open, 427-3772. I'm reading from the Good Times, the ticker, as I interrupt my downtown commission tape here, to read, you know, lots of little factual errors and bias in the story, and kind of a sneery quality to it, suggesting, you know, you're getting $400,000, and, you know, then these homeless advocates are complaining. Well, the amount of money that's being, you know, that's being wasted in tickets is beyond $400,000, and you have a situation where you're taking away rights from people that they have to have, the right to sleep legally somewhere. Hi there. Are you asleep or awake, caller?
Robert.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. What's your name?
Shane.
Hey, Shane. Didn't recognize you. Welcome to Free Radio.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to let you know that as far as the bathroom being vandalized.
Yeah.
I was the one who was there providing the RV bathroom for everybody because the bathrooms were locked down. And to my knowledge, they were locked down even during the daytime. So, I don't understand how they could say that somebody was spearing feces all over the bathroom or vandalized it.
Well, I got to tell you that I think the bathrooms were probably open during the day, although I don't have a direct experience with that, although I may have used one once. I think there was concerns by some of the leaders, Amanda, Damone, John, that there was at least one incident where somebody crapped on the floor or made a mess, and they went in and cleaned it up. I think Chris was concerned about that. So, I mean, I think it happened. It happened at least once.
That was the first day. Then they locked the bathrooms down after that, even during the day.
Is that right?
Yeah, as far as I know.
That's interesting. I hadn't known that.
Yeah, just something to think about. All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Shane.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 427-3772. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, Freak Radio. Shane was talking about the protest at City Hall, Homies for the Homeless, the demonstration that went on for 6 days and provided a safe place for homeless people to sleep, which is an important issue. I've been hearing increasing reports of violence against homeless people, claims even of murder of homeless people in the Poganip, of people carving no camping on people's bodies. I don't frankly, have the, you know, the definitive word on this. I'm getting more people who claim that they have a witness who saw the perpetrators do this or saw somebody's body afterward. So I don't wish to be too skeptical, but I'm also wary of spreading rumors. Given the kind of hysteria raised by the Sentinel, abetted by the police department, condoned by the city council, you know, when you have a situation where protesters try to stand up and say, look, let's enforce the federal constitution here and give people the right to sleep legally without being arrested. That is, you know, the reality in Los Angeles, San Diego, Fresno, and Richmond. It has to be true here, too. We're all in the 9th District. And to have the phony liberals like Coonerty and Rotkin and Riley stonewall on this issue and blame the protesters, lock up the toilets, and try to sweep the whole issue under the grass or off into the bushes or into the river, it's a form of moral pollution that I find really quite despicable. And it's also not particularly helpful. So that's what I'm doing here on the radio, is talking about it, by cracky. Anyway, this story continues. Spray painting your message on the walls of City Hall isn't the best way to achieve political reform, says Santa Cruz Police Department spokesman Zach Friend. I'd be surprised if causing $1,000 in damage to a historic structure changed any minds. Clearly, there are better ways to win over support for your cause. Again, Friend is claiming, by inference, that this was done by someone who is a homeless advocate trying to press the cause. Might well be. I mean, in fact, you know, that might be my first reaction, that might well be the case. But for a police officer to make this claim without any real evidence of who did it is to tar and feather other advocates who are engaged in peaceful protest. And it's also to make claims that go beyond the facts. And it shows an agenda underneath. It shows a cast of mind. And I know, I talked to Zach Friend. I did have one conversation with him on this subject. And he didn't believe that sleeping was a crime. He just believed that camping was a crime. And I had to say, you know, Zach, you got to read the law. The law in Santa Cruz, Municipal Code 6.36010A, specifically says falling asleep after 11 o'clock at night on any public property, in any vehicle parked on public property, even legally, is a criminal infraction. That's what we're talking about. It's illegal everywhere on all public property in Santa Cruz. There are no exceptions. Period. So, when the police department, the guys who make the statements for the newspapers and are quoted in the newspapers, don't know what the fuck they're talking about, you have a difficult situation. You have a situation where, well, it, you know, I would say it damages their credibility, except that since it fits in with the prejudices of other people, that damage isn't noticed. Anyway, continuing, well, that's all that the ticker had to say about homies for the homeless. It obviously was a sneer job as well as a smear job here, because the issue is ignored. The issue of whether the real vandalism is being done not just to homeless property by John Wallace's Rangers and John Barisoni's ridiculous legal interpretations, but, you know, to the city budget, because it's going to cost probably tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees if this does go to federal court. That's how much the city has spent already dealing with the Heil Krohn case that is now going back to federal court again, the Court of Appeals, the case I've been involved with for 5 years, which involved my being arrested for a false arrest at City Hall, where they wanted to remove me from City Hall, and I said, no, I have a right to be here. I'd raised my arm in a silent Nazi salute, indicating I think you're a bunch of fascists, and they said, oh, you can't be here because you do that. And I said, no, come on. You know, sorry, I'm not going to buy that. And they had me arrested, and we sued them. And we sued them for the arrest, and we're still suing them, and they are still racking up money, spending taxpayer money defending this instead of dealing with the issue and saying, we'll change the rules, we'll make it really clear that you can engage in gestures of dissent at city council without being hauled out of the council meeting and put in jail. But you see, the city council doesn't want to do that. And the police department doesn't want to admit that either. Now, we've heard it said, I know Bob Glass, who was on here a few minutes ago, you know, the badass coffee guy, you know, he doesn't want to blame the police. He says they're just following orders. You know, I wish that were just, that were really the case. And in some cases, actually, I'm quite happy with the police when they retrieve vehicles that are stolen from me, as has happened on three occasions. Thank you, Santa Cruz Police Department and other police departments. Although the shape the vehicles were in was sad, but that's not your fault. You know, and when they are of assistance in, when they bring coffee to homeless protesters, showing some sympathy, as Sergeant Harms did during the Homies for the Homeless protest. When the police, it's hard for me to find positive examples of police behavior, because so much of what they do has to do with the war on drugs. It has to do with class war on people. It has to do with enforcing a differential kind of selective enforcement. It has to do with stuff that I'm just not in agreement with, and not only just in agreement with, that outrages me, and that's why I'm on the radio talking about it, so I don't like it. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert.
Madison.
I mean, that tagging,
call number four. Hi.
The tagging is stupid, as, like, someone's going up there killing people in the pogo nip and marking them for being homeless. Well, that's even stupider. That's,
I don't,
like,
even know if that's happening. I don't even know if that's happening, Madison. That's the claim that some people have.
How many did you hear about? Usually the
worst. Well, I haven't heard about it from anybody who was a direct witness, so I'm still, you know, I'm still trying to track down the source here.
Well, there were several women burned here too. Did you hear about them?
You saw several women burned?
No, I saw the coroner though, and I heard, you know.
Okay, well,
I heard what happened.
When was this?
Up on San Mateo County Vine, they put it in the paper.
Yeah, but
and
I mean,
that little
okay,
girl
all right.
Walk on our street.
Let's stick to what the subject is here, though. We're talking about poor and homeless people being messed with and the media distorting it and the Downtown Commission's actions today.
Well, murdering somebody in the pogo-ness is serious messing, Robert.
Yes, it is.
You know, and that's just going to...
I don't have any clear evidence of I don't have any clear evidence of what's happening there, Madison, and I don't think you do either.
Well, against the homeless?
In the pogo-nip. If you have evidence of a murder in the pogo-nip you want to talk about it, let's hear about it.
Someone should call, yeah, because... You know,
someone should call.
That's how
sure.
You take care of the neighborhood. You know,
but until they do, I don't want to babble. Until they do, I don't want to babble with you about the possibility that somebody might. Do you have anything else you want to say?
Well, they're kids run wild at night.
All right. Well, you know, call back when it's a little more together, Madison. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I am trying to get some stuff done here. I'm going to go back to the Downtown Commission's tape, and this again is what the Downtown Commission's main agenda item was. Let's see where we're at this moment here.
Transportation planner from the UCSC's car share program. If you have the chance to read the paper this morning, there's a wonderful article on.
And this is kind of a little kind of aside they're doing with a UCSC presentation, which doesn't last very long. And they quickly go into the Downtown Commission's main business, which is giving the police more tools.
Signed the Climate Action Compact, which was very exciting. And we've been launching this week as the students return to campus.
And that's very nice. The room was not full, but there were 30 or 40 people there, and more people came in. Most of them were merchants, staff, police officers. There were a few homeless folks who came and street people and community members who showed up, because we did put out flyers requesting people to come on down and announce we had some free food. But a lot of people did not show.
20 are also eligible.
And they're still talking about this, I guess it's a car program up on campus. I'm not quite sure. It's too bad. I know that Homies for the Homeless unfortunately did not show. Actually, one guy was there with Homies for the Homeless, and we heard his interview earlier, Barr, but he didn't actually come in and speak, and he was there actually just coincidentally. And let's see where we're at here.
Allowed us to use two of the parking spaces, and through Marlon and Jim Seth, we worked out.
And they're still talking about this UCSC program. You know, the reason I get frustrated with homeless folks, but, you know, I got to realize that they are doing a lot of things, just struggling to survive. It really is true. It's hard to be an organizer in that situation.
And so those are vehicles that are available to anyone in the program. All the vehicles are available to anyone in the program. So we have seven cars.
Anyway, so this brief thing goes on, and it should be over shortly. I was given a five-minute opportunity to make a presentation, but there was so much that I felt I had to reply to that I didn't get as much of it together as I'd hoped. But there were some interesting things said.
Yeah. The membership rates are here.
And I think we're almost through with this presentation. And if you ever want to get a copy of a Downtown Commission meeting, you can get it relatively cheaply, $1 per tape. It used to be $5. They've dropped the price to their credit. I want to
$8 or $10 an hour.
Thank them for that. So you just go to the Downtown Public Works Department. You can get a copy of that.
Word was yesterday, the plural. We've got two Honda Elements, a Toyota Matrix.
And they're talking a little bit more. Again, my apologies for the lengthy, unedited way this we're doing this, but it's really, frankly, easiest for me.
Different areas.
There were a lot of police personnel
the downtown area knows.
Who were making actually patently
well,
false statements to the downtown commission, which they were not challenged on. The only person who did the challenging was Sheila Coonerty, who eventually voted against this. And yes, that's the same Sheila Coonerty from the Coonerty family, Neil Coonerty's sister, Ryan Coonerty's aunt, who is also on the board of directors of the ACLU with Mike Rotkin.
Anyway, well, thank you very much again for your support, and we'll come back.
And hopefully that this is over and we can get on with what I'm looking for here. But she voted against this in the 6-1 vote that was the final vote for the Downtown Commission's decision on this.
We'll be working with Zipcar, how they're
And it's the issue with Zipcars, which I suppose is some sort of special transportation deal up to campus, which is nice.
They're putting another car.
It'd be nice if disabled people had some zip cars out to the homeless service center so they didn't get arrested for walking across the bridge over to Emmeline Street, but I guess that's not necessarily in the cards.
We need this right now. They just have UCSE addresses or actually their home.
Yeah, and this went on longer than I thought. You can still call in, 427-3772, if you have some thoughts on anything you've heard or something that we're not covering.
Yeah, then we can go ahead.
We're going
to
be covering also the Tony Madrigal matter, which is being blown up big time. It's not really about Tony Madrigal. It's about can a police department suppress any discussion of racial profiling. And we'll see if that is actually the case. They're not going to shut me down.
Today, we wanted to make sure we have plenty of time for public comment. I know commissioners are very interested in hearing what the public has to say about this particular amendment to the ordinance. So the item is the amendment to the parking lot use and trespassing ordinance amendment. And this item was heard on May 24th. It was voted down by the commission. We invited staff to bring this item back with some more documentation of need. They've done that, and this item is being reintroduced. How many people wish to speak on this item today? We have a few. Okay, I want to, I think, set a limit to 3 minutes. We have Corey over here who's going to be using the timer. We appreciate your cooperation and helping move this along. I want to make sure we hear all the perspectives here.
And I want to point out that this is the kind of occasion when Emily Riley, as mayor, would declare 2 minutes instead of 3 minutes, since there were about 10 or 15 people who wanted to talk on the item. And that would, you know, take a certain amount of time. Admittedly, it was the only item on the agenda. But, you know, kudos to Julie Shattuck. She also allowed me to make a 5-minute presentation rather than a 3-minute presentation because I asked in advance, and there's a tip for all of you out there who are represent organizations. If you ask in advance either at City Council or at a commission of some kind, you can usually get permission to make a longer presentation if you do so in advance.
So thank you very much for coming out and we look forward to your comments. The agenda packets are at the door if you haven't already gotten one. We'll start with a staff report by Christoph Schneider, and he'll lay out some of the background history of the ordinance. Of course.
Chair Commissioners, Chris Schneider, Assistant Director of Public Works. I'll be doing the presentation with some assistance from Zach Brennan of the Police Department, who's put together the statistics that are in your packet. We also have other staff from City Attorney's Office, John Barasoni, who may be able to answer questions related to legal issues around the ordinance. We have other police department staff in the audience who can answer some questions, and public works staff, Jim Burr, transportation manager, and Marlon Granlin, to my right, the parking programs manager. So the recommendation is that the commission recommend to City Council that Section 9.64 of the Municipal Code be amended to include all downtown surface parking lots, thereby defining proper use of public parking lots specifically for the purpose of parking vehicles and bicycles. City staff, the Downtown Improvement Task Force, and Downtown Commission, the City Council really are working hard to make downtown safer and to make it more appealing.
Now, this was a constant theme, to make downtown safer and more appealing. And these are two separate things, as was pointed out by one of the speakers, actually Ken Cole, Homeless Service Center director, who was in the audience. Some people find the presence of poor and homeless people very unappealing, and the presence of all kinds of other minorities unappealing, and they would like to see hot spots dispersed. And, of course, any public parking lot, which is a public assembly point, it's nice to make sure that nobody can do it unless they're parking a vehicle and they're coming and going from a business where they're depositing money, or at least coming and going from a vehicle or a bicycle, where presumably they have some business downtown. There are many things that parking lots are used for other than simply parking a vehicle, which really shouldn't require much discussion. But as I've said earlier in the show, this was completely overlooked and ignored by this commission, even though it was suggested to the commission repeatedly that they balance things out and consider, you know, does the so-called security need justify criminalizing and excluding all kinds of innocent behavior and banning all public assembly in public parking lots? Because you are banning a public assembly. To allow a person who's parking a vehicle there does not allow that person to go there for First Amendment purposes. Now, there is an exception to the parking lot panic law, as I call it. That exception is, first of all, of course, if you're retrieving or parking a vehicle, you got 15 minutes to do it. The next one is if you're a worker for the city, engage in the performance of city business, so that can be anything, or the maintenance of city parking lots or garages. So all city employees have a special exemption, which sounds to me a little unconstitutional, but hey, what do I know? And then the third is if you're engaged in speech-related conduct, if you're there to occupy an area for the purpose of engaging in speech-related conduct, and persons so occupying those posted areas are doing so in accordance with the posted permission. There's no posted permission in any garages, which have been have excluded public presence for the last year, and that has been in defiance of this law, which has been in effect in parking garages in parking lot number 9 for a whole year. It wearies me to even talk about it, and I am going to be talking about it more because it's really kind of It's illustrative of a number of things. It tells you something you already knew, that you have a fascist mentality. That is to say, a mentality that essentially takes its direction from the unholy alliance of business and police interests, corporate interests in that way, rather than from the community, although there were some community members there. There was no representative of the downtown neighbors. There was no representative of the Santa Cruz neighbors. There was no representative of elder people or young people. This went through a secret process by the downtown, what's it called, the Downtown Task Force, which is a closed group, Downtown Improvement Task Force, in which Coonerty, Matthews, and Robinson, the police department, and Julie Shattuck, and a couple of other people from closed commissions sit on this, and the public is not invited. The public, in fact, is disallowed. Shattuck claimed there were no minutes to their meetings. Sheila Coonerty disagreed when I talked to her afterward. So I have never been able to get minutes from these secret meetings of this rather powerful group, the Downtown Improvement Task Force, which called for a police crackdown downtown on Pacific Avenue at the beginning of the year. You may recall that rather grim situation that happened when police were running around IDing everybody in town that looked suspicious to them, you know. arresting people and ticketing people for sleeping, cracking down to please a particular segment of the community, violating people's rights as a matter of course, and doing so often in groups of four. And we're going to see more of this at Halloween, too, when we're going to see armed thugs in uniforms marching around in military formation to guarantee our security. And there's a reason I call this fascist, because, you know, fascists gave a certain kind of security to Italian and German society of the 20s and 30s. You know, there had been a lot of tumult on the streets. Communists and Nazis fought each other. There were strikes. Well, under fascism, you didn't have this kind of problem. You know, you had everything kind of took place behind closed doors, you know. And if you were out of line, you got your ass kicked, or you got sent to a concentration camp, or worse. And, you know, here in Santa Cruz, you know, it's, people say, fascist, aren't you, you know, exaggerating the situation? Well, the mentality of abandoning, trusting a police department's initiatives instead of looking to the community, where the police department is setting the agenda on these matters, where the police department is pressing for more tools and more power, where the conservative sensibilities involve eliminating and selectively enforcing, eliminating the appearance of things which some merchants think creates an unwelcoming atmosphere for a particular class of tourists who are coming in. This is an endless struggle that we have had in Santa Cruz for decades. It's nothing new. I'm not suggesting that. What we need, however, is to realize that unless we struggle with it, it will, well, the forces I think that we don't want will win this struggle, or perhaps even have won this struggle. It's difficult. I mean, some people want security, or the illusion of security, and they believe that people in uniforms with guns and badges will somehow provide this, particularly when linked up with a snitch community activist kind of, where the activists are people who are, you know, informing about people walking into the parking lots. That was one of the things that was said at this meeting, that we don't need more police. It's not going to cost a lot more money, because people will, A, they'll regulate themselves, or they'll inform on others who cause, quote, problems. So, we have a caller. Hi there, caller.
Addressing the fascists, it's Madison.
Madison, number six.
Well, our main fascist, Alberto, whose girlfriend he sleeps with up in Scotts Valley, well, he got canned.
What are you talking about, Madison?
Fascist wants to come in, and or when Bush flew in, they do those cleanups. They used to do them in Santa Barbara. I lived there, and we lived down.
They're still doing cleanups on Pacific Avenue, and they're still doing them, you know, here in Santa Cruz. I don't know quite what you're saying.
The idiots are coming in, the fascists. They always have these cleanups, and then you see the cops traveling in twos.
Yeah, well, you know, Madison, the strange thing is that you're always going on about drugs at such a rate. That's one of the main tools the police have for increasing the kind of fascist power that they have. You know that, don't you, right?
No, I'm pro psychedelics.
Well,
the
idea of giving police greater powers to deal with private drug use, whether we're talking LSD, heroin, methadone, whatever we're talking about, gives them the power to invade your privacy, invade your home, and shred the Constitution, and not to mention confiscate your goods.
Yeah, and they haven't been doing a good job of managing it, selling to all the little kids. Well, hell,
but the point is that you have I often hear in your calls this kind of strange, you know, this frankly somewhat strident tone, which expresses great concern about, you know, drugs and demand for more police action and community action against drug use and drug sales, instead of, let's say, changing the whole situation by turning it into a medicalized situation, which is what I, of course, recommend.
No, I'm talking about boundaries. The number one problem with this town is nobody respects boundaries.
Well, you're going to have lots more boundaries now with the parking lot panic law, Madison.
Well, if you disrespect...
Anyway, thanks for your call. I'm going to roll on you, because I've only got 7 minutes left, and... I want to finish up. So, a couple things are coming up this weekend I want to announce before I leave. There really is, Virginia, a sleeping ban lawsuit. I mean, it really is on the agenda. We've been talking about it endlessly, but the attorneys are coming to town on Saturday. If you have a sleeping ticket, or if you are at risk to get a sleeping ticket, and you want to be a part of the sleeping ban lawsuit, come to Loudoun-Nelson Center, 6 o'clock Saturday, Room 2. Loudoun-Nelson Center, Loudoun-Nelson Community Center, which is at Laurel and Center Streets. Check it out. That's going to be at 6 o'clock again, day after tomorrow. And you can meet with Kate Wells and David Beauvais, and we're going to be, you know, hammering out which plaintiffs, they're going to be interviewing the plaintiffs, and to proceed with that whole situation. If you want to check out some interesting discussion on the whole issue of, it's been raised by the Sentinel editorial a week ago of, is it fair to boycott Bookshop Santa Cruz or criticize Ryan Coonerty and the bookshop there for the behavior of the city around the sleeping ban? Ryan Coonerty, you know, after all, doesn't own the Bookshop Santa Cruz. He's apparently sold or gotten rid of some of his interest there, but he is a manager there, and he is a prime worker there, and he he hangs out there. And the owner of the store, who by the way, it's not entirely clear to me, I think Neil is still part owner. He's the supervisor. But I guess Ryan's sister is the big owner. She was at the city council, the downtown commission meeting today as well. I didn't take the opportunity to speak to her. I'm a little bit reluctant. I don't want to be shouted at misinterpreted. But should Bookshop Santa Cruz be picketed? Now, we've actually talked about this in the Huff meeting as to whether it should be boycotted. Some Huff members don't think so. Others, currently the policy, as I understand it, is yes, boycott bigotry is what we're doing. And the reason for that is, you know, is manyfold. And you can see a pretty good discussion of it in several places. IndieBay.org/Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz Indie Media has a number of articles, one called Potty Talk, where actually Ryan Coonerty is... I think it's either Neil Coonerty or Ryan Coonerty. We have a quote from them, and then there's kind of a thread of discussion that goes into it. Becky Johnson is very eloquent. Thank you, Becky, for your comments around that web and that string. If you want a little more bigotry, you can turn to the Sentinel's website and check out Google for homeless and start looking at recent homeless articles and the comments on them. The op-ed piece has a lot of... pretty naked, nasty bigotry. And the Sentinel forums are even worse. If you want to see a lot of attacks on me, go there and have a good time. I, by the way, have an op-ed piece that will be appearing either this Sunday or next Sunday on the Homies for the Homeless and the Sleeping Ban, pretty much saying what I say on the air here, that, you know, we need to respect the Constitution and the law, deal with this issue, and get the hell on with it so we can move on to other things. I'm also going to be talking next time about Craig Canada's trial. I was rather surprised that Judge Deneen Guy found Craig Canada guilty of sleeping, even though she had previously dismissed 4 sleeping tickets by accepting the fact, testimony from Linda LeMaster, who you heard call in earlier on the show, that there is no legal place for people to go to sleep with who have medical marijuana and need to medicate themselves. That they're just, it's not allowed in any of the programs. And she apparently accepted this, but then she decided that she wasn't going to accept it, but gave no reason, she being the judge, Deneen Guy, and found Craig Canada guilty. And hopefully I'll be writing about this on IndieBay.org and talking about it next time on Sunday. Also, there's more on Measure K. We've talked about that, and hopefully we'll be discussing Measure K. A prime possibility for activism is dealing with the reality of racial profiling and class profiling and selective enforcement in Santa Cruz. That's an area where you had 3,000 to 6,000 people march May 1st of last year against the immigration persecution that goes on for people of color who are immigrants or who have immigration paper problems here in this country and in this area. And all the ranting by the police department and the Sentinel and all the cover jobs by the city council is not going to stop determined activists who have a number of people in the Latino community behind them. And there is a chance for some real change and some real activism. I'm going to try to get some Brown Berets on my show to talk about this issue. They, of course, have their own show on Free Radio. I think there's also WAM is going to be having an event this Saturday, which Huff may be giving out flyers at. I invite people to come to the Human Rights Organization, which meets every Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Firefly Cafe. That's at 131 Front Street. Bernard Klitzner and Bob Patton have been working steadily and effectively to further this lawsuit, which, as I said, if you've got anything you want to say about the lawsuit, if you've got in terms of any you want to be a plaintiff, you know, take yourself down to Loudoun Nelson Center, 6 o'clock, Saturday night. And I'll be there, too, so you can touch me as well. You know, that's about it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides for tonight. I want to thank you for being with me, those of you who were listening. And I hopefully we're going to be getting another merchant to talk about her position. It's a somewhat more critical one. She supports the 15-minute law and will tell you why. Teresa of the Union Grove Music, maybe. I'm going to talk to her tomorrow about this. And maybe we'll have her on Sunday or next Thursday. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Coming up next, it's the infamous Cream to the Dregs with the Cream of the Dregs, that man about beer bottles, Uncle Dennis, who doesn't have any beer with him. This is a strange occasion. Dennis, what do you mean by coming into the studio without a drink?
Because I'm going out tonight.
Ah, okay. Well, I knew there must be some...
It's a very short show.
And you're going to give, hope you don't give us short shrift. I'm going to go out on land, and feel free to move into your stuff whenever you want, Dennis. Thanks for being with me. Give me a call on the Huff line if you want to talk to me off air, 423-HUFF. I won't be able to answer you now, but I will get back to you.
And you're home with Free Radio Santa Cruz. I am, of course, Uncle Dennis. And you're listening to a show which is called From the Cream to the Dregs, and it takes place here every Thursday evening from 8 until 11 o'clock. And the only thing that's going to be different about tonight's show is that I'm not going to be here much. You are going to be hearing lots of music for the next 3 hours, but you're not going to be hearing me. That's because there's a guy in town by the name of Joe Bonamassa, rock and roll, blues guitarist, and I'm going to go see him. If you want to join me, I'll be over at Moe's Alley. Bring a lot of money. a god-awful amount of money to see this guy, but since he is never around here much, I guess that's why they're charging that much. But I intend to have a good time. So while I get tonight's program lined up for you, let's start off with a little bit of the Grateful Dead, and then I'll let you know what we're going to do tonight.
No,